So show us how you'd normally sell to a female client.
Okay, with pleasure.
Okay, you've just walked into her office and begin.
Hello.
Hello.
May I please speak to your boss?
Imagine if women's comparative advantage over men in social skills was one day rewarded with a bigger share of the best jobs. Well, according to new research, that's already happening. Welcome to Vox Talks from the Centre for Economic Policy Research, a series of conversations with the world's leading economists. My name's Tim Phillips. It's no secret that the demand for high-skilled labour has been rising, but what you probably don't know is that since 1980, female college graduates have been getting more likely to end up in high-skill, high-wage occupations, while men who graduate college are less likely to get a similar job. So what's behind this? A new report provocatively titled The End of Men by Matthias Cortes of York University, Nir Hayimovich of the University of Zurich and Henry Hsu of the University of British Columbia suggests that it may be due to differences in the social skills that men and women possess. Now, Henry joins us today to explain. Henry, welcome to Vox Talks.
Hi, Tim. Thanks so much for having me.
You are teasing us with this title, aren't you? It's going to be a long time before it really is the end of men in the workplace.
No, yeah, you're right. It's not the end of men, and we were using that as a tease in terms of the title. We actually mentioned in the paper that we borrowed the title from an article that appeared in the Atlantic magazine by Hannah Rosen some years back, entitled The End of Men. And in that article, she was making the case that perhaps modern society, broadly speaking, might be better suited for women than men. And so I found that piece very thought-provoking. But more accurately speaking, I think that the title would refer to the decline of men and the rise of women in the high-skilled labor market.
Yes, and the high-skilled labor market is what you call good jobs. So can you define what a good job is in this context?
Okay, because our paper is focused on folks with a college degree, the college-educated, high-skilled workers, we're thinking about the kinds of jobs that these college grads would presumably find desirable. So there's a number of ways you could categorize what are quote-unquote good jobs versus other jobs. I think a good way to summarize it would be like white-collar jobs, or in economics we refer to these as cognitive jobs, so jobs like physician, lawyer, financial analyst. The other way that you could categorize how good a job is by simply looking at how much that occupation typically pays a person. So there's clearly physicians on average get paid more than, for instance, high school teachers who get paid more than a waiter or a waitress. So you could simply just think about how high on the pay scale a job is. And no matter whether we think about the top 10%, the top 20%, the top 25%, you know, if you think about those as good jobs, we see the same trends happening. Over time, college-educated woman is finding it more likely that they're working in such a job. And over time, college-educated men are finding it less likely that they're able to find work in one of these jobs.
Now, to do your investigation on this, we have to look at the skills that apply to these jobs. And economists like to treat jobs as bundles of tasks that need different proportions of different skills. Is that right? And where do you get this information from?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So we're thinking about an occupation as performing a certain, as you say, bundle of tasks. Performing those tasks requires certain skills. And so, again, the basic premise of this paper is that the demand for certain skills at performing certain tasks from the employer side has been changing over the past 35, 40 years. So our primary source of information is from the U.S. Department of Labor. It's a database called the Occupational Information Network. If you're an economics wonk, you'll know this as the O-Net. And so for me, the easiest way to think about what the O-Net is to imagine myself as a high school guidance counselor whose job was to match my students' interests and capabilities to post-secondary careers or educational paths. And so if I were the guidance counselor, I'd rely on something, probably a simplified version of the information that's in the O-Net. What it does is it tracks thousands of really specific jobs or occupations. They make distinctions between like what a short order cook is relative to executive chef. What the O-Net does is it provides a rating on hundreds of specific tasks that you would have to do in the job and the skills that you need to be able to perform those tasks successfully. So from the employer's perspective, it compiles a list of the skills you need to be able to do that job. Like I said, a whole array of tasks and skills that the O-Net covers.
In your adventures on the O-Net, Henry, did you find that every job needs more social skills, or are there just more social skill jobs that are being high paid these days?
Yeah, that's a great question. Let me answer that question slightly differently. So what we're finding is since the 1980s, there's been a huge increase in the number of college-educated workers. University completion rates has increased over time. But nonetheless, despite this huge increase in the supply of these workers, the demand for these workers has been keeping pace. And so a college grad's ability to find work in a good job, that's remained constant over time. But this result for all college grads hides what's going on underneath. And so for a college-educated guy, their chance of working in a good job has fallen. The likelihood of a woman has gone up. And so to make sense of these different trends, we're zeroing in on social skills. And you're absolutely right. It could have been that the demand for social skills has gone up equally in all jobs across the pay spectrum. In fact, what happened is that the demand for social skills has increased more in the top jobs and those high paying jobs, and it's increased less, and in some cases it's fallen in the lower paying jobs. So social skills are now a bigger component of skill demand in good jobs than they were before, and it's precisely in these jobs that we're finding a bigger increase in the female share of employment.
Yes, and the other half of this is to make that statement that women have higher social skills. Do we know that's true?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We are not providing evidence for in this paper. We're building on the work of folks in neuroscience and psychology and other folks in economics who have done work to document that for whatever reason, be it biological, something that's been learned, something that's cultural, there's existing research that find that women have what we call in economics a comparative advantage over men in having social skills. And so to be clear, when we're trying to understand why college-educated women are increasingly sorting into these good jobs and men are decreasingly so, you know, it's not the absolute advantage that matters, it's the comparative advantage. So if that's what other people have documented, then we're taking what we think is the logical next step and to say, well, if the demand for social skills has increased in the workplace relative to math and creativity and more in the good jobs, that could help explain why it is that women are increasingly more likely to work in the good jobs and men are increasingly working in the other jobs.
I was trying to find other explanations for this. Mm-hmm. Could the increasing female share of employment in good jobs just be because there's a higher proportion of high-skilled women now?
The idea is that over time, there have been more college-educated workers in the economy, in the workforce, whereas the number of college-educated guys has doubled over this 40-year period. It's more than tripled for women. But if the demand for skills hadn't changed, or if the supply of skills that women brought to the table relative to men hadn't changed, that would just predict that, oh, the female share of employment in all jobs should have gone up proportionately. But that's not what's happened. As an increasing number of women have entered the workforce relative to men, things have actually tilted. They're not entering into all jobs. They're entering disproportionately into the good jobs, and therefore men are disproportionately sorting into the less good jobs. And so you need to understand why this tilt has occurred. And that's where we find thinking about changing demand for skills within jobs, this increasing demand for social skills, that's where we find this to be informative.
Maybe the people who are giving out those good jobs are just discriminating a bit less.
Absolutely right. That's absolutely a possibility. And this paper doesn't rule that possibility out in any way. All we're trying to make the case for is that one possibility, one that we find speaks in the data, is that there is a role for changing demand for skills. You're absolutely right. The other possibility is that there's been a bigger fall in discrimination in the good jobs compared to the others. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if that were part of the story. I think that's definitely a possibility. But the problem is that I'm not aware of any comprehensive or systematic measure of pure discrimination, how much it's changed and how much it has changed in one occupation versus another. So you would need to have that sort of occupation by occupation measure of gender discrimination, and not only just measure it, but you need to measure its change over time. That's what's nice about using this data on occupational requirements from the O-Net and the Dictionary of Occupational Titles. It allows us to measure skill demand. It allows us to measure how those have changed over time, how they've changed over time differently in one occupation relative to the next. And our results show that how those changes have occurred line up shockingly well in terms of helping us to understand changes in the gender composition of employment.
Could the causal relationship be the other way around? Maybe we're noticing these social skills more than we did before because there's more women doing the jobs?
Yeah, absolutely. One obvious critique that you could have about this work, one that we're very sympathetic to, is this problem of risk of causality. We're making the case that there's been an increase in the demand for these skills, more in good jobs relative to other jobs, and that's what's causing the changing gender composition across occupations. But it could be the other way around. For whatever reason, some other reason, women are increasingly sorting into these jobs, and that's what's causing the ONET or Dictionary of Occupational Titles to change their ratings of how important social skills are. So one of the nice things that we were able to do is to not just use that data. There's this beautiful series of papers by Adelaide Pong Thien Tam, Sotelo, and Tannenbaum, and they've digitized millions of newspaper help wanted ads. This database that they've compiled runs from, I think it's 1960 through to the year 2000. They stop in the year 2000 because nowadays we're not using newspapers to look for jobs. Over the 1980 to 2000 period in their data, we can actually measure how much these social skills are in demand within an occupation. We can measure from the words, from the mouth of the employers themselves, what skills it is that they need within an occupation. We can measure how these changes have evolved over time. And we, using that measure of social skill demand change, we still find the same results in terms of female share of college-educated employment.
We're often told that artificial intelligence means that jobs with these social skills are the ones that are least likely to be automated. So it sounds like the rise of the robots might be worse news for men than it is for women.
Yeah, so having done some work on automation and the changing structure of the workforce, I do agree with that assessment. I think that there's definitely some merit in that. But I think when people are thinking about jobs requiring social skills being more insulated from automation, I don't think they have in mind the occupations that college-educated workers necessarily do. So automation or robotics, AI, they have a comparative disadvantage at doing the work of a home health aide or a personal care aide. They have a disadvantage with respect to counseling or social work or managing people. And these jobs that I've described, they exist across the wage spectrum, and they're not specifically jobs that are worked by folks in the high-skilled labor market, whereas this paper is focused in on the high end of the labor market.
In that high end of the labor market, if women have a comparative advantage, do you think this might close the gender pay gap?
That's a great question, and it's highly related to the work that we're doing. You know, there is a huge literature on the gender pay gap. There is a clear consistency with what we're finding with respect to the wage gap literature. And so what the wage gap literature has described is the idea that if you're to take an otherwise identical man and woman in terms of experience, in terms of observable characteristics, working in, for instance, the same occupation, what they find is that, you know, what's referred to as the residual gender wage gap, that's closed over time. And the closing of that wage gap really occurred in the latter part of the 20th century between, say, 1980 and the mid or late 1990s. And since then, that gender wage gap has remained roughly constant. The pace of that closing has slowed over time. And what we're finding in our paper is that these changes in occupational employment between men and women happened rapidly between 1980 and 2000. And over the past 20 years, that narrowing has also slowed tremendously. And we also do work in our paper to think about occupational wages, why it is that doctors are paid more than teachers, why teachers are paid more than waiters or waitresses. And what we find is the ability of social skills to help us understand or explain these pay differences across occupations, that's improved over time. But even there too, the explanatory power of social skills, that increased greatly from 1980 to 2000. But since 2000, that too has been relatively constant. So all of these factors are lining up in the same way.
So it's not the end of men yet, but it sounds like it's the end of the beginning. So Henry, thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Tim, for having me.
Just to remind you that the paper is The End of Men and the Rise of Women in the High-Skilled Labour Market. It's CEPR Discussion Paper 13323. This has been a Vox Talk from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. If you like listening on your mobile, subscribe at your podcast platform by searching for Vox Talks, and you'll get notified every Friday when we publish a new episode. Or you can always find our archive at www.voxeu.org/vox-talks.